Hello, and welcome to Questlore, a family Lorcana podcast, where each and every week, our loving family talks to you about Lorcana and everything we love about that game.
So let's start all weekend how we usually do it.
Introductions. I'm Matt.
I'm Malcolm. I'm Emmett.
And I'm Jen. Now, Emmett.
Now what do we do, Emmett?
Now we talk about what we did at
Leech. Okay, I don't know why you didn't hear that.
No need to whisper, buddy.
So, which me and Mom didn't.
We didn't get to play.
I had pictures.
Yes, he had to take his pictures for his dance class.
So we had to miss Leech play.
But these two went and played on Sunday. So Malcolm, how'd you do at Leech?
Got fourth place.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You went 2-1. Did really good.
But what did you find worked really well for you on Sunday, Malcolm?
Pilot Piglets. Yeah, once I got three Pilot Piglets out at the same time.
How much lore would that quest for?
Nine
in one single turn. And what was it, like turn three?
Yeah, we also had a Lilo out.
Wow. That's crazy. So you got 11 in one turn? On turn four. Wow.
That can go fast. I lost a couple games. Didn't do as well, but I was trying out a new deck.
What kind of deck were you trying out?
Bubbles?
No, it was Sapphire and Steel. Mm-hmm. So that deck.
What's so about that deck?
So the thing with that deck is you use the blue stuff to ramp up a lot of ink really fast, right? You get a lot of ink in your inkwell. And then, and you play cards. and then, basically, you empty out your hand with, like, the fishbone quill to get your ink full really fast. And then you play a whole new world to refill your hand. And then, really, what you want to do is be able to play a lucky dime.
What does the lucky dime do again?
So, for the lucky dime, it's an item that costs 7. Uninkable. But when you pay 2 ink and tap the dime, you gain lore equal to a character on your field. So.
Wait, do you have Goofy in that deck?
No, I do not use Goofy in that deck.
Well, what do you have that quest for 3?
But I have Gaston, that quest for 3. I have Belle, the when you're over 10, quest for 5.
Oh.
And I have Tamatoa,
who
quests for 1 plus however many number of items you have on the field. You'll already have Lucky Dime on the field, and odds are you'll have Popsicle, possibly the Digital Quill, so. I've had him up to like 5 more before himself, where he's questing for 5, and then my dime's questing for 5. So it can get things really quickly.
Wow.
Wait, what was the
that bell is a menace, by the way.
It is.
I do not like playing against that bell.
If I see that bell, I'm just like.
Yeah.
The problem with the deck, people have against the deck, is that you can play those cards, the bell, the Tamatoa, the Gaston, and then I can instantly get the lore instead of having to wait a turn.
Right.
So it is a deck that can win very quickly all of a sudden, but it is a very hard deck to pilot, take care of, to run. And I made a few mistakes for sure. Need some more practice with it, but it definitely has a lot of potential.
And then you played again last night, and how did you do there with that same deck?
That was a different deck, so I played back to. To Old Faithful, to my Ruby Amethyst control deck. I went 2-for-1 there. I lost to someone playing aggro. They were playing, not yours, they were playing Ruby and Amethyst aggro.
How would that work?
So,
you can't get any of those rerolls out on the first turn. Oh, Maleficence.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he has Maleficence, he has the Pinocchio that quests for 3.
What about Simba?
Then Simba that quests for 3 as well. Mm-hmm. So he had a few of those out, and I just couldn't take care of them fast enough.
What about the goats?
He had goats, but he didn't need to get to the goats because he's questing for like 6 on turn 3, or like actually he's questing for like 8 on turn 3, and I couldn't really do anything to stop him. He had like the Arthur out.
Yeah.
I have some stuff in there that can stop those things, but I just didn't see them. So that
one time I actually tried an aggro deck out of draft. Like, tried to get aggro cards out of draft.
Yeah, you built a city of items in draft.
Oh, God.
We don't trust you at drafts.
You can't. You couldn't quest with those items. They weren't.
Yeah.
Because that was like the first draft that I did. So
I didn't even get a
items are people. Okay. I'll take them.
All right, calm down.
But, you know, it's good to get out there and practice. I think we'll all be able to play this Sunday.
Yes.
Which will be the last time for most of us, unless we sneak out again, before set championships get started. We've got a bunch. We're all going to go to the one at our normal local game store, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. That should be exciting. Though there are 34 people signed up, it is official that it is full.
34
people, which means a lot of Lorcana that day.
All four of us are signed up for our regular spot at 8th side.
And we are going to talk a little bit more this week about what to do to prepare for a set championship.
Wait, is the set championship the thing with the...
That's where we're going to be playing all day. We're the rights. So why don't you remind everybody, Dad, what the prizes are for the winners of these championships.
Sure. So let's get over to what we normally have. For those that are listening, we are going to go over our set championship stuff. I've got images on YouTube. If you want to see what they are and want to see our lovely faces, feel free to join us on YouTube. But feel free to keep listening as well. We'll always describe everything.
And Ursula will return in May.
Emmett.
Ursula's return is still coming. We don't have any new news for Ursula's return this week. Because it's all still about the Lorcana set championship, where the top four are going to get the Stitch promo card, and then the top two will get a Stitch playmat. The top winner, their playmat will say champion. However, it will be just as rare as the person that comes in second that doesn't say champion. So from a value perspective, they should be about the same, because just the top two get them. Even numbers, that's how math works.
They'll say champion, Matt.
Say champion, yeah.
So they'll be worth more, for sure.
For sure. But look at that beautiful Stitch card.
So cool.
How much dollars would that go for?
Who knows?
We'll see what it's running for after the first weekend and see how people are doing. You know, I'm going to play in at least four.
You say at least. Like, how many more can you possibly do?
Two I could possibly do. So
that still have spots available?
That I have spots reserved at.
Oh, okay.
So one is on Saturday. It's going to depend on how long auditions take because I want to try out for a show for myself. We've talked about how these kids do theater.
Mm-hmm.
We like to do theater as well. So there's a show.
The theater family.
That we for sure want to try out for. It's local theater group is doing actual Shakespeare.
In the park.
In the park.
Which is cool.
Midsummer Night's Dream. I want to try out for that. So if I auditions for that start at 1, all right? And there's a tournament that starts at 2. So
where, though?
In South Dade.
Oh, okay.
So it depends on how they run the auditions, because they said prepare a monologue. So I don't know if it's just you go up, you read the monologue, that's your audition. Like, if that's the case.
And they said it was dropping, so I think so.
If that's the case, I might just do that and then run.
Yeah.
Get there early, do it, and go. And then I have a second one reserved on the last Sunday. But that's going to be more like if I've been just beaten up and losing a ton over the course of the week, I'll probably just go to the 8th side. Or if I've won already, I'll just go to the 8th side. If it's all been like I barely make it, then I might just go to that instead. So
gotcha.
So that's why, at least.
Because you don't want to miss out on lead play.
Right. Exactly. I need those bins. So those prizes are going to be highly sought after. This is kind of, from what I've been told, these things should be like we're wading into the very competitive circuit of Lorcana. Our store seems like it has really good players, either that or we're worse than we thought. But the players seem really good. And I know they've competed in 1Ks, and they top 8 and things all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We've put up a decent battle against them, so.
I think every single one of us have beat at least one person who's done big tournaments that have placed in the top 10 of those tournaments. So I think we're pretty good.
But it is a different mindset. This will be a more competitive atmosphere then
it's dinner.
Yeah, our dinner's running in the background. Chicken tacos tonight. All right.
Yay!
Anyway, so this is where we're going to get a little bit more competitive. Not going to be the people will still be friendly, I'm sure. Everyone I've ever seen doing the game has been friendly. There's not really too many sour grapes among them. maybe a few,
but not a ton.
But this is the different mindset, because this is we are actually paying for something that could be worth a decent amount of money. So it is a different atmosphere, and there are some different things you want to
make. Paper and pencil.
So awesome. Paper and pencil. Right now, the way we are always all tracking lore is we all have our own custom play mats. Mine is Kingdom Hearts. Malcolm, what's yours?
I want all the lucky rabbits.
Emmett, what are you rocking?
Painting the roses red, Leafwiser.
From
what?
Alice in Wonderland.
That features?
The Queen of Hearts.
There we go.
Royal card.
Just the Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, just the Queen of Hearts.
And mine is a Rapunzel the Lantern scene.
Right, and all of them have some numbers up at the top so that you can track lore that way, where each are using little movers to move a little guy along to keep track of our lore. When you get into a more competitive space, you kind of want to use paper and pencil to track the lore, right? Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you're keeping track of both yours and your opponent's
lore. And accurately.
And accurately doing it, so that you have a record of kind of how it's went, so that mm-hmm. if there is any discrepancies, you guys can compare notes and see who's better.
Yeah.
A judge is going to side with the person who's keeping it on paper and pencil rather than someone that's using a dice or someone that's using a tracker on a mat or anything like that, because little guys can fall over. They can get moved.
Yep.
Dice can roll a little bit.
And also, you know, just be careful. Like, you know, sometimes when you're playing for fun, like, little things happen. Like, people mix up their discard pile with their ink. Or their ink with their hand.
Yeah.
And things like that, where people forget to move, forget to move their piece or forget to move their die, forget to take, do something when they think that they have. And so, yeah, writing it down on paper with a paper and a notepad. And a notepad's probably the best way to do it, like a small notepad. And, you know, that's probably the best way to do it.
We even got our own D20 right here.
Yeah, but again, we're saying that we don't want to use that.
So I'll make sure we all have pads of paper and pencils to kind of keep mm-hmm. track of our lore, keep track of your opponent's lore too during these. Again, remember, it's a much more competitive atmosphere, so we're taking things a little bit more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Good sleeves. So while we're playing this weekend, my homework or play work for all of you
mm-hmm.
is to check out the sleeves while you're using them. Make sure that you don't have a lot of sleeves that are kind of starting to rip or mm-hmm. are in bad condition, because we'll want to replace those.
Yep.
I know basically,
especially it's hard to shuffle
mm-hmm.
And you can get sometimes they get caught up in each other if the sleeves are ripped, so definitely important.
It's more important because there could be things where people kind of say, hey, you might be cheating because this sleeve looks a little bit different than the rest of your sleeve, so you know what card is in that sleeve, and you're kind of trying to cheat and shuffle and do all sorts of shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
So you want your sleeves to be in good condition. If you need to, you know, replace them. Sleeves aren't meant to last forever. So, family, take a look at your sleeves while you're playing this weekend.
Yep. And also, what kind of sleeves do you recommend if people are doing this for the first time? What's the best kind of sleeves that we enjoy?
Ours are all Dragon's Shield.
Yeah, Dragon Shield. I feel like
that seems to be the go-to.
The go-to, yeah. Ones. And another thing, too, is I know that it's always, especially in a competitive environment, it's always better to have solid back sleeves rather than clear sleeves. Because, again, for the same reason, if maybe there's a card that's in a slightly bent condition or different condition, it could look different when it is clear on the outside. And that, you know, somebody could call you out for cheating on that. So if you are going to be buying new sleeves, the solid back sleeves are definitely the way that you want to go.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Good point. Whatever you do, don't buy the Lorcana sleeves.
Oh, my God, no. Don't use those.
Those are garbage.
Like, they're so cute, but no.
Yeah, we have two sets of the puppy sleeves that we were able mm-hmm. to get during the release of the Inclinant sets weekend. We got both of those. And Emmett used them. And I've had to shuffle those cards, and those sleeves are garbage. Don't do it. Then deck lists. So you're probably going to have to submit all the cards in your deck on a list at the start of the turn. Yep, you're going to have to write them and make a weird face, just like that. It's perfect for our audio listeners. Thank you. You're going to have that list ready. There are many apps or websites available that you can kind of build your deck visually and then basically print that out, copy it to a clipboard, put it in a Word document, print it out, whatever you need to do. I recommend Dreamborn.ink. It's a great one for building lists out. You can go on the website, see other lists that other people have, but that's what I'm going to be using to basically build all of our decks there and print them out and bring that list with us. So you don't want to be moving things around and changing things last minute. You want to decide on what your deck is going to be like a couple hours before, at least, so that you can have that deck list finalized and bring it with you. Otherwise, mm-hmm. they'll make you write it all out when you get there, and that doesn't sound any fun.
Awful.
Yeah. Next, no takebacks.
No takebacks, and this is especially for kids. Like, you need to be careful.
Yeah. So we're used to playing in a regular friendly league where, oops, I forgot to do that. Oop, I'm sorry. Definitely hear a lot of Midwestern.
Oops.
Oh, so sorry there.
Oop.
Yeah, no, I forgot to play that. Trying to grab your lore, like, pass your turn, like, oh, I forgot to quest. That's not going to sit well in a more competitive environment.
And so especially be careful if you're using locations, because, like, technically the rule is you are supposed to take your lore at the beginning of your turn. And so if you don't,
you draw your card, technically you've missed when you're supposed to grab your lore.
And so that's, and your opponent does not have to let you take it at that point. So do make sure, like, if you are, like, this is not the time to be trying out something new.
Yeah.
Like, if you are not, like, used to using locations where you take the lore at the beginning rather than, you know, when you quest, do not try them now. Like, because you might lose a whole bunch of lore that you don't mean to lose.
Right. Something that has been going on in the Arcana Twitter space the past few days are, what would you do if someone tries to cast a spell? Really, this was Let It Go on a character that has ward. So technically, by the rules, if I say I'm paying 5 and I'm playing Let It Go, and they try to point it at someone that has ward, they technically can't do that. Do you let them take that back, or do you say, sorry, you played that and you don't have a target? There's a lot of question on what would you do there.
Yeah.
Basically, you can either be nice or you can, take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, so, like, what about, like, something too? Like, if you were to say, oh, I'm gonna attack this person, and because you didn't realize they had resist, and you said, oh, you can't because they have resist. Like, do you just still lose that?
Well, they can still attack them if they have resist, but just don't do any damage to them.
Oh, okay.
If evasive, like, you can't challenge them at all. So that would be more of a, you can't do that action at all. So, that's more the, if they're evasive, you can't do it at all. So you can't actually challenge them.
Right.
If they have resist, you didn't realize that. Oh no.
Oh no, not, I meant evasive, not resist. As I meant the evasive.
Sure. Okay.
So, like, if you were attacking somebody with evasive and you're not allowed to, like, can you not take that back? Because that's a mistake I make all the time, because I don't play evasive characters, so I don't know all the evasive characters in the deck.
You can take that back because technically you can't do that at
all. Okay, that was the one I didn't mean resist. I meant evasive.
Yeah, okay.
With resist, yeah, that's your bad. Like, but that I meant more evasive, because that's the mistake I find myself making a lot, is not knowing who's evasive.
Mm-hmm. The last kind of trick here is know your foe. Your first person that you're playing, you may not have any idea who you are playing against, what you're playing against anybody that you sit down against. Any of the people that you're normally used to playing with might be playing a different deck. They might be playing a new person, but you're going to know what colors they're playing pretty soon. And so you should be aware of what kind of stuff that color can do.
And especially color combinations.
Yeah.
So, like, if you see an Amethyst Steel deck and you see small Jafars coming out,
yeah,
then chances are they've got a big Jafar coming, so you should get rid of those little Jafars immediately.
Same thing with little belts. Like, they can shift into that.
That big. Scary belt.
The Bloodborne belt at Quest for 3. No, not the inking one. That's not a Bloodborne. The Bloodborne one that Quest for 3, and when you attack it, it's basically a whole new world.
Yeah, so, and that's, you know, that's the... I don't think so, but no, but it's, so yeah, and it's...
The Archer one?
Yeah, no. Nobody uses that. But, so, just, yeah, no, and so if you are going to be playing in one of these tournaments, you know, do some research if you haven't played a ton, so you know, like, what the common decks are. Like, if you just go and look up, like, people playing Lorcana on YouTube, you can even see, I know Matt's done a couple of, you know, lunches, quest lore lunches, where he plays, and you can watch him play different decks. That's, you know, watch a couple of those if you haven't been able to actually play, so you can see what people are playing. Like, what are people playing, what combinations, and what do those combinations do? So that way you can prepare and you know how to defend against them. Because unfortunately, unlike regular league play, we're only playing two matches, not three. So
No, it's three.
Oh, is it three? I thought this one was two.
That's only for the Disney Lorcana Challenge.
Oh, that's the big one.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So, but so, you know, you want to try in that first game to figure out while you're playing, so you don't lose that first game immediately.
And then after you finished one of your games, it's a good idea to just get up and take a walk around, not just to exercise your legs, but to see what other colors people are playing.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe you're farting into them. There's no rule that says you can't go spectate on another match. Unless your store puts that rule in place, there's no Disney rule against doing that. So unless your store puts that in place, feel free to get up, walk around, see what the other colors are, so that when you start playing maybe one of those people, you know, do you have to play fast because they've got a long game, or do you play slow, or do you need to make sure you're keeping item removal, keeping character removal, all that kind of stuff, give you a little bit of knowledge to go in. The last bit of advice I have, it's not on here, because I just kind of thought of it while we were talking, is know yourself.
Know
your foe, but then know yourself. When you're trying to come up with what deck are you going to play with, the answer is, what are you most comfortable with? What have you been playing
with? And what do you have fun playing with?
Sure.
Like, I stick with Steel Song because I have fun playing with that deck. It turns out that it's actually a little bit more competitive now with the new Inkland cards, which is awesome. But it's fun. Like, I find myself having the most fun when I play that deck. And I know, Malcolm, you seem to have the most fun when you play an aggressive deck, right?
Aggro.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's just, it has fun playing whatever he's playing, so he's been trying out different things.
Like, one time in a draft, I tried out it.
Well, we're not talking about drafts right now, so. But, like, what do you just like playing in general?
Evasive and discard decks.
All right, so there we go. And so, yeah, know what you like playing.
And play that.
And play
that. If you're not sure what you're most comfortable with, and you're like, I'm looking at all these different deck lists, and maybe I should go with this thing because it won the last tournament. Mm-hmm. No, just go with what you know how to play and stick with that.
Has Zelda ever played Lorcana?
How can Zelda play Lorcana? She's a dog.
She doesn't have thumbs, buddy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so last week we were talking about some terms for trading card games, and I thought we would go back to that, learn some more new terms. So play and draw.
Play means, so when you draw a card, that means you draw a card at the beginning of your turn. So drawing is like taking a card from your deck.
Okay. Oh, wait. So yes, that is the, yes, that is.
Do you mean like draw for turn and draw for play?
I'm
like,
saying if I'm on the play or if I'm on the draw, what does that mean?
Oh, if you're on the play, that means you are the first person to play. And if you're on the draw, that means you're going to play second.
Correct.
Because the first player does, the person who goes first doesn't draw a card. They play with what they have in their hand. Where when you go second, you draw first. And yes. So I know you said that it does seem there's a slight advantage to being on the play.
It seems to be more than slight.
Okay.
It seems to be if you look at Pixelborn, right, the app that people use to play Lorcana online, it's like 70-some percent of the time the person that went first wins.
Okay.
According to Ravensburger, they say it's 52%.
Uh-huh.
People are like, nope, you're wrong. And that is probably why they've gone to that best of two or two game format for the Disney Lorcana Challenge, because then someone's always going first, mm-hmm. and then the next turn they're going second. So mm-hmm. it eliminates that need.
Mm-hmm. And again, and yeah, so and that's why it's not always that, you know, you don't automatically go first if you win the coin toss or the roll or whatever. It's that you get to choose. And most people choose to be on the play, yep. but not everybody, but most people.
Hmm.
I've played a few that didn't, that I lost to.
You should usually play on the play.
Yeah.
Next we've got buff. What do you guys think buff means?
No idea.
Not great for an audio podcast.
Super strength.
Super strength. So how does that work with Lorcana?
Maui, yes.
So,
Gilpia.
Like strong, just strong
just,
cards.
Just Maui being a buff demigod.
Yeah.
That's why there's
or
a term
Gaston.
For it. Look, he's buff.
Yeah.
I just like looking at this guy because he's got muscles.
No, he's got a lot of attack.
Okay, so because he's got a lot of attack. You're in the ballpark, right? It's an increase to the stats of a card. So their attack power. If I increase their amount of their attacking, I'm buffing them up.
Oh.
All right.
I put that some in video games.
Yes. Ooh. It is used in video games, using this card and this too. Can you guys think of an example of when you buff up a card in more common?
I mean, when you
what's it called? The support?
Yeah, so I was gonna say
support.
Support
would buff up someone, yep.
When you go to Maui's island,
like
when you go to a location, is what he's saying, like some location.
Did some locations do buff them up. Crafts will give someone like plus three right per turn.
Does resist count as buffing it up?
If you give someone
resist,
that is like buffing their resist.
So like there's locations that
like
will
giving,
increase resist.
Or like giving someone evasive or buff.
Oh,
that.
And that's a kind of buff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Usually it's for attack power, but.
Okay.
Yeah, it's any kind of stats to a card.
Okay, so support would be the most common one.
Probably. Except I don't think there's anyone, I don't think anyone ever uses support. So
I used to all the time with my queen.
Oh, right, yeah. Her
I used to use the five queen that you.
It's a kind of support. It like gives, it takes away and gives some. It,
yeah.
It's, some, it's similar to support, but it's not a normal.
But it's
support.
A buffing up.
But it's definitely a buffing.
Mm-hmm.
Million.
million cards.
It's
actually funny. Someone, that's not what it means, but someone actually made a deck where they use Cubby, and you use two locations, okay, and then you have the map of Treasure Planet on there, which lets you move people between locations for one cost less. Well, whenever you move Cubby to a location, his strength goes up by like three. So they had two locations. They just kept moving him back and forth, moving him back and forth until like his power level got over 9,000. And that person, I saw the person watching from the other side, like, so I've just been sitting here, and they keep moving their cubby back and forth. I don't know what they're trying to destroy.
That sounds like. That was a 10-year-old playing. That's just funny.
I just wanted
to
see they do it.
If they could do it.
No, that sounds like me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like a 9 or 10-year-old playing where I'm just like, I want to see if I can get him up to 1,000.
Has nothing to do with Mill, but it has to do with buffing.
Wait, was it buffing?
It was buffing up.
Like,
I'm just
buffing.
I'm just visualizing like Cubby just getting like super super buff.
Yeah.
And he's got like these massive arms.
His
and his
clothes
tiny
are just
ripping.
He's got a small face. Small face and a really big like balloon thing. But his face stays
exactly.
The same.
Exactly. It's totally visualizing. And then it's like a Donald Duck situation. And then he like
Just explodes everywhere.
Please, if you are listening to this and you have any type of animation, like talent, please send that in to please email that to us. I would love to see that.
I don't even, the location doesn't matter. Location wasn't adding.
I just need
that's
to have to
ability.
Be less than one.
Yeah. One or less. So he could for free just keep moving it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Anyway.
Anyway.
What does Mill mean, Dad?
It means when you keep cubby. A whole bunch of
a millipede just comes in.
No, so milling is a type of play that removes cards from your opponent's hand or deck.
So
build their cards away.
So now would like Whole New World would be milling?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Typically like whenever anyone has that in their deck, they call that, oh, that's my mill deck because it takes cards away from the opponent. So that's mill. That you might hear that word, like people might throw down your Whole New World and people say, oh, you milled me.
Mm-hmm. Mill.
Resources.
Oh,
what are resources?
It's when you have
Item City. I would think it
would be Item City. Yeah. It's when you have a treasure planet, two locations out on one
okay,
button,
no.
And you have
no.
All right, I'm at
no.
Effort.
That is one situation. One silly situation that has no use in anything.
I would think resources are like what's available on your board to you to help.
Yeah, probably.
So like maybe items and locations would be resources here, I would guess.
So it is something on your board, but it is what you use to play cards.
Oh, you know what? I knew that.
So it's what are your resources?
Yeah.
I thought people say like something even like I'm going to use to us.
Yeah, I'm going to put the resource list. Okay, yeah, I've heard people say that too. Yeah.
We've destroyed Emmett with the cubby talk. he's just completely lost.
His brain is all the time. All right, pay attention.
Hardcast.
When you're picking a, like in a draft, like you have to like get rid of the card.
No.
Is it like when you have cards out that are hard to get rid of, so it's like they're like a set?
That's a good guess, but no.
Let me guess.
You say cubby.
All right, what is it before he says cubby?
I'm going to have to take some cubby.
Okay, shush. Dad, what is it?
Okay, this is when you play a song by paying for it with ink.
I'm thinking of chubby singing songs.
All right,
so I'm going to hard cast the Whole New World. I'm going to hard cast Friends on the Other Side.
So instead
you're paying ink instead of playing it.
Instead of singing it with a singer. Okay.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Is that all?
Sometimes you also hear that, you know, when you're singing it, you're playing it for free because it's not costing you any resources.
Okay, got you.
Scoop.
Information.
What's the scoop on here?
It's the information
about the other player.
About how the other player is getting his character's buffer.
Okay, we're about to be done.
Is it like news? Like
Lorcana? No, it's not Lorcana news.
Like, the only thing I think of is like either it's figuring out what the other player is playing, or has something to do with, I don't know, like.
Okay. So usually you're gonna hear this at the end of the day, end of the game, where someone will just say, "I'm scooping." Which means they are conceding a match, they're scooping up their cards, and they're...
Okay.
So you might hear
something... Why would they just say fold? Why would they call it scoop?
Because you scoop up your cards.
I don't know.
I wasn't there. I wasn't at the meeting where they decided this.
I just feel like I say, I fold. Like, I'm done. Like, why say scoop?
Why not think it's folding?
Okay, so that was the last of my turns for this week, so... that's kind of that's some of the terms you might hear during your Lorcana Championship because these were terms that are used in the TCG trading card game space. They keep getting used. I've heard most of these before while we've been playing, while listening to podcasts and all that other kind of stuff. So you might hear them this weekend. So if you do, now you know you have a little bit of context. So that brings us
Two trivia times.
Trivia time. Yes, indeed.
And this first question, Malcolm. Mom.
How do you already know the question?
Because he went seeking the card out.
You are such a cheater.
I didn't see the question. The answers.
I didn't see the
question. Malcolm, only you answered it.
All right, the wonderful world of Disney trivia card tells us first. What early character created by Walt Disney was described as being lucky?
Oswald,
the Lucky Rabbit.
Was Malcolm's favorite character.
Of all time.
Mm-hmm. You like him better than Goofy?
Barely beating Yoshi. No, I say he's a Yoshi.
Okay.
One's a rabbit and one's a kind of dinosaur, so.
He's somehow a male dinosaur that lays eggs.
Yeah.
Do we know that he's a male?
Yes.
From what?
The lore. Had gone out and said it.
The lore.
I don't know if that's true.
Alright, anyway.
Anyways, next question. Which Pirates of the Caribbean film won the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects?
Probably the original. I'm gonna say
the second. The third.
Alright, we got the third, the second. Malcolm, what's your choice?
The first one is the only good one.
It is Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Is that the third one?
That is the second one.
The second one. Good job.
Good job.
Because I thought that the fish would be
Oh, because they do a lot of the skeleton
stuff.
That was
the Davy Jones.
The Davy Jones thing. Oh, that's true. Yeah. So yeah, that makes sense.
All right. What 1989 Disney song was the first to win an Academy Award in 25 years?
Beauty and the Beast. I'm pretty sure. I know that one won the. So that was that 1989?
I think that was Beauty and the Beast.
I know that that one, I know that Beauty and the Beast was the first one nominated for an Academy Award as a film that year. So that would be my guess.
Yeah, me too.
I just don't know if it was that year. Yeah, I don't know if it was 89.
All right.
Is it?
It was Under the Sea.
Ah, that was going to be my next guess. Was Little Mermaid was for before it, right? So it won, and then Beauty and the Beast won 1990. See, that's what I couldn't remember.
Take it from me.
Okay, next question. What does Giselle use to make herself some clothes in Enchanted?
Curtains.
That's right. It is curtains for y'all. With this last question, this one made me laugh when I first read it, because there is a neighbor of ours that has a small koi pond. And at least I think it's a koi pond. We live in Michigan, so the weather has gone from freezing to 80s to freezing back to the 80s, now down to the 50s.
Well, it literally snowed the day before we left for our spring break vacation. And like not just like a little snow, like 4 inches.
Yeah.
Like we had to get out the snowblower. And then like we came back and it's been like consistently like 50s, 60s, and then it was like almost 80 2 days ago. But the day before that it was hailing. I think it was hailing, so I had to pick up Malcolm from the bus stop because it was literally hailing. And it's been pouring rain the past couple days. So, yeah, very weird weather. But anyway.
So they've got this above-ground koi pond in their yard.
Like maybe like 2 feet diameter.
Yeah.
Like maybe a foot high, tall.
And it's a little strange. But if they're setting up a koi pond, that's great. But it looks seems like in the meantime, one of the kids that live there has decided to make it their own personal play space. I've never actually seen the kid playing.
I saw him the other day.
Oh, yeah?
I saw him. I think he's, like, maybe, like, 8 or 9.
So, I've seen an aircraft carrier in there.
Yep.
I've seen an aircraft carrier.
Godzilla.
And a Triceratops fighting on top of it.
And there's also, like, a little, like, fountain. Like, one of those little solar fountains.
Yeah, that just springs up out.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, it looks like it's just barely trying to do stuff. The other day, it was, like, full blast. Like, hey, it works.
Because we actually had sun that day.
But near the koi pond, I have also seen Bucky, the toy from Jake and the Neverland Pirate, patrolling to make sure everything
just
is
safe. Bucky?
Just Bucky. I mean, Bucky was the
Wait,
shit.
Wait, who's Bucky?
Do you remember Bucky? He's like the little, like, stout one.
No, Bucky's the ship.
Oh, Bucky's the ship. Oh, Bucky the ship.
Yeah.
Yes. Who is Bucky's the name of the ship.
What ship?
The pirate ship.
What pirate ship?
From Jake and the Neverland Pirate.
How many pilots did that show?
No, there's one that Jake drives. Okay, and then there's the Jolly Roger, which Captain Hook is the captain of. But Jake is the captain of Bucky. They make, like, you guys had one that you played with all the time.
Yes, we did.
Yes, all the time.
Anyway, but yeah, so Bucky
Jake and Limberline gonna... Pirates was a kid's show on Disney Junior.
Disney Junior.
Yes, there could be Jake and Limberline Pirates were kind of cards. I can't wait for Disney Junior were kind of cards. I am so
Sophia
excited.
Sophia the First.
I hope the step five is called Rise of the Juniors.
Yes, right. He wants Rise of the Juniors. And they're just going to come up, and they're just going to cause havoc because they are all children.
Three children. Yeah. We don't even know.
And, like, the only one who has a good, solid head on her shoulders is Doc McStuffins. But then all of her stuffed animals will come cause even more havoc. Because can you imagine what a stuffy card will be like?
Okay.
Anyway.
Yes. She's going to have some kind of army up. But her, all of her cards are going to be healing stuff. Like, oh, she heals you. Oh, she heals
yes.
you. If I'm taken to battle, all right.
Chili?
No. I'm taking Sophia the First.
Of course.
She fights actual villains.
Yes, she does.
Stuffed variety.
With magic.
Yeah, with
and
magic.
And then we're waiting Lammy.
And Lammy. You
can leave Lammy at home. She's going to heal stuff to her nurse hippo lady.
And then they'll just be Stuffy, which is just overpowered, and then
there's
going
to
be
chilly. Oh, my God. What would a floodborne Stuffy look like?
Okay, so chilly, like a Stuffy, right? It's going to be, like, he's going to have the special ability of, like, stuffed dragon fire. Where, like, it only does, like, one or two damage.
And then Stuffy.
And then chilly, it just, chilly's attack will be anxiety.
No.
Yeah, no. Stasis. Anxiety. You're not sure what you're gonna do.
No, you roll the dice and you get an odd number. You discard a card.
Wow, we are really unhinged on this Friday afternoon.
And even, if you get an even number, you banish the character.
Crazy rules that you're coming up with.
You banish.
Anyway, I'm guessing it's a Jake and the Neverland Pirate question.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly easy. So what are the names of the villains in the preschool TV series, Jake and the Neverland Pirates?
It's not for preschoolers.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, it
that's
is.
When you watch it, man.
It's Captain, who is it, Emmett?
Captain Hook and Mr. Smee.
Mr. Smee.
Smee.
Why are you saying me instead of Smee?
Also, when you said Bucky, I didn't think you meant the pirate soup. I thought you meant the skull from Apple and the Girl. And I'm just like, why?
And I thought he Bucky? Meant, like, Bucky from, like, the Winter Soldier.
And when he said
all of our brains were completely
and when he said Bucky, I thought he meant the, skull of the cat. Questlorequestions@gmail.com. Once again, that's questlorequestions@gmail.com. If you are listening to the audio version of it, there is a YouTube version where you can see our smiling faces.
And our cute dog.
So check us out there at Questlore. If you're watching the video version and wish that you couldn't see our smiling faces, you can find an audio version of this on all major podcast platforms. Wherever you find us, please like, follow, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a rating. We truly appreciate it. This has been Questlore. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful day.
And I'll see the lucky rabbit for Lortana!